Another weekend, another round of top college football teams biting it, another weekend of overpriced baseball teams winning it, and the Tom Bradytron 4000 football robot continuing its domination of the weaker human players of the NFL. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's Monday morning, and even though Allison is gone, her husband, our sports guy, Bill Wolf, is still here to give us the what. Good morning, William.
And good morning to you, Luke. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I appreciate – I wasn't sure if you and Allison were a package deal.
Well, we are. But
thanks for making an exception, Bill. I appreciate it.
Well, or as the great Trish McKinney, your producer, said, I'm cheating on Allison.
Oh, I was not trying to paint in those terms. By the way, Bill is Allison's husband. He's also, as many people know, the disembodied voice of ESPN's Around the Horn. And so let's start with the Boston Red Stockings. I understand that you made a call yesterday afternoon before the game started that they were going to win the American League Championship Series, which they did. What tipped you off?
Well, first of all, I have to say it was a guess because I was busy watching the U.S. Sudoku Championship.
Who I haven't TiVo'd. Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
No, I'm not going to say another word. What tipped me off to the Red Sox? They are a superior team to Cleveland. They have a better roster, in my opinion, and particularly better pitching, particularly a better bullpen. They were playing at home, and then just karmically, this is what happens. I wanted to see Cleveland win. Cleveland hasn't won the World Series since 1948, and so I was sort of rooting for them. It's a Rust Belt city. It's the Indians. That's sort of an inappropriate nickname, politically incorrect.
Right.
Let's see Cleveland win. Because I wanted it to happen, I just knew. It was one of those moments. It was a perfect storm, if you will, of things which would cause me to pick Boston, and I, in fact, picked it as I stood at the laundromat.
Well, you know, the Red Sox were trailing in the series 3-1, and, you know, they sort of had this, I guess, dramatic comeback. But can we just – is it safe to say now, or can we please officially retire this notion that the Red Sox are these underdogs?
Yeah.
I mean, they spend almost – what are they, probably second to the Yankees in payroll?
To the Yankees in payroll.
They've won the World Series a couple years ago.
They're going to win it again.
A big behemoth of a team. So
let's
they're not this, little team from Pluckyville that makes it.
No, that's exactly right. It's not the Green Bay Red Sox.
Right.
It's the giant, massive, fourth biggest media market Red Sox with their big payroll, and they are now, they have gone from underdog to overdog. They are the Yankees. So to me, it's one big I-95 conspiracy against the little guy, and while the Red Sox, you know, used to be able to play this underdog card that all their sort of Ivy League literary columnists used to write about, no longer. Sorry. You're the overdog, and nobody feels good when you win.
Outside of
it's true.
Well, do you think
am I bitter? Yes, bitter.
You think they're
bitter?
Are they? So you think it's going to be the Sox easily over the Rockies in the World Series?
Well, it's utterly unpredictable. For those who have not really been following the baseball, the Colorado Rockies, who just came out of nowhere and essentially haven't lost a game for a month, have been sitting for 8 days waiting for the Red Sox or Indians or whoever it was going to be to win the American League pennant. You have to favor Boston. Boston has the guy to watch for folks who will tune into baseball for the first time or aren't really familiar is Boston's Josh Beckett. He's Boston's ace pitcher, and this guy has emerged as the greatest big game postseason pitcher in the game at the moment. He is absolutely unbelievable when the chips are down.
Yeah, he showed that stuff with Florida a few years back, I guess.
That's right. That's exactly right. In 2003, when Florida beat the Yankees in what was an upset thought to be an upset at the time, he was insanely good, and he's back. And he's sort of you just can't score a run off this guy when it counts. And he'll pitch the first game, I think it's Thursday night, in Boston. And I don't know how you can't favor Boston when they have Beckett going twice. Then the great Kurt Schilling goes twice. Boston spends a lot of money and therefore has the best players and therefore over a series of games, class should tell and Boston should win.
Well, we'll keep
you never know. That's why they play the games.
Keeping it in the New England area, because it's not enough fun to have a team in the World Series, you also have to have, apparently, the best team in the history of football. the New England Patriots.
Rachel,
what
do you care about football?
Heck?
I care a little bit more about football than I care about baseball.
Oh, good.
I have to say.
Good.
I can perhaps add some comments, although it's really limited to, like, Mike Ditka's Bears.
Ah, the Bears. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's focus on New England.
Okay, New England, yes. New England.
That's actually an apt comparison. The 1985 Chicago Bears are widely considered one of the greatest teams ever. They lost one game all year, including the playoffs, and won the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, in fact, whooped up on who in the Super Bowl?
The
New England Patriots.
Steve Grogan quarterbacked New England Patriots.
That's right. That's exactly
See,
right.
I knew it. This is
That's
why
right.
I brought it up.
They didn't want to make no trouble. They were just there to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
Exactly.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Well, the New England Patriots right now, they invented the word juggernaut for this team right here. Did you see the game yesterday, Luke?
Yeah, Tom Brady's my fantasy quarterback.
Fantasy everything. The guy's unbelievable.
He threw for six touchdowns.
Six touchdowns. They scored 42 points in the first half. And then, so they're up 42-7 at the half. And then they decide it's mercy time. It's 42-14, and they're heading into the last quarter. And the coach, Bill Belichick, the evil genius, he's not even evil, he's just a genius, decides he'll take Tom Brady out of the game to show mercy, rest him, and make sure he doesn't get hurt. So in comes the backup quarterback. The backup quarterback throws an interception. The other team, you know, catches it in midair and runs it in for a touchdown of their own, meaning that now it's 42-21. So they have a three-touchdown, 21-point lead. So what does Belichick do? Puts Brady right back in the game. And you know what he does? Marches right down the field and throws his sixth touchdown and makes it 49-21 just to make sure everybody knows that not only is nobody as good as the Patriots, nobody's even close to being as good as the Patriots.
Do you think that it's possible that this is the best team in football history?
No, it's awfully early. Is it possible? They haven't shown that they're not, but they're not even halfway through the season yet, and a lot of different things can happen, and they could lose unexpectedly or go on a cold streak. It's possible. I think it's awfully early to make historical comparisons. You know, to be the best team in football history, you have to win the Super Bowl. And, you know, that's a difficult thing to do. You got to beat a lot of good teams to do that. So they certainly, they're the best team I've ever seen through seven games of a regular season. I've never seen any team dominate like this through seven games. They're scoring 39 points a game, which for those who aren't huge football fans, is an enormous number of points, enormous, to average 39 points a game. It's outrageous. So I think they're the best team I've ever seen through this short a spell, and then we'll see. They are awfully good. God, they're awfully good. Awfully, awfully good. So
Over on the college side, though, the teams that have been awfully good, at least according to how they've been ranked, have been falling. And one of them that was a story we loved, a team that was from Plucky Town, the University of South Florida.
Plucky Town, Tampa, USA.
Yeah, they were sort of a nowhere school. You know, they don't even have dorms on their campus. And here they are, number two in the country, but they went down this week.
They did to Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, down the way in Piscataway. The South Florida Bulls lost. And they were second in the country, as you said, against all odds. And they and the South Carolina Gamecocks, who were ranked number six in the country, also lost to Vanderbilt, which was quite an upset. And I think that the Kentucky Wildcats were seven in the nation, and they also lost. So, again, three of the top 10 teams in the country lost on the same weekend. And so it seems as though the higher you go in the rankings, the more likely you are to lose. And I've never seen anything quite like this. I've never seen quite this kind of balance among the best college football teams. So if someone said, you know, who is the best college football team, in most years it's pretty clear. You know, Luke? In most years you say, well, it's USC or it's LSU or it's Florida or something. But to ask who the best college football team is this year, it's very hard to say.
Okay,
I have no idea who the best team is.
The clock says quadruple zeros for me, but I need a one-word answer, this, Bill. All of this parody in college football, these top teams losing, good or bad for college football? One-word answer.
Good.
Okay, we'll expand on that next week. Bill Wolf, husband to Allison Stewart, bona fide sports fanatic and friend of the BPP. Thanks, man.
My pleasure. See you guys later.
All right.